Okay, good morning. Welcome to day two of Ignite and this session on OneDrive for Business. We're going to be focusing today around just kind of recapping, giving you some more depth in terms of what we can do today, where we're heading. We'll have some fairly detailed focus on the roadmap for OneDrive for Business. My only regret is that we didn't get a bigger room. We've obviously had to turn a lot of people away today. So if you could all just squeeze in, it makes it really difficult for us to get the frame of reference. But my name's Ruben Krippner. I'm Director of Product Management on the OneDrive team. And Omar will introduce himself in a second. But our intention today is for you to walk away confident in terms of the capabilities today, very confident in terms of where we're heading, and thought-provoking in terms of how you can include and get OneDrive for Business in your organization as part of your Office 365 investment. So with that, I'm going to hand over to Omar.
Thanks, Ruben.
Hello, my name is Omar Shaheen. I'm a group program manager on the OneDrive team, and I focus on the mobile applications and the overall user experience for OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, and the files experience in SharePoint document libraries. So we have a couple of objectives for today. We want you to understand what OneDrive is and hopefully understand why you should care about OneDrive and what its capabilities are. We're going to spend most of our time doing a demo of some of the features that we have in the product, as well as some new features that will be coming out. Ruben will be covering a bunch of sort of the core capabilities of OneDrive, giving you an overview of what it supports. We'll end with the roadmap and talk a bit about 2016 and what's coming beyond 2016. And we'll do a really quick demo of some exciting new features that we have in store. So as you probably saw in Jeff's talk yesterday, OneDrive fits into Office 365. In and of itself, we think OneDrive is a very capable file sync and share product, but it's really part of an overall suite, powering the files experience for a number of workloads in Office 365. At the sort of foundation of Office 365 are a bunch of capabilities that all of our products take advantage of. The first being Office 365 groups, where we make it really easy for you to work with a set of people. As Jeff said, a group is a set of people, a site is a place they go to work, and OneDrive is sort of the files browser, files experience that lets you see all the places that your files might exist, that you work with your team, either in ad hoc collaboration or structured collaboration, or even where files are part of business processes. Our key focus on OneDrive is to make it a capable anywhere access solution and provide a set of really simple tools for collaboration, but also very powerful integration with the Office applications. Fundamentally, if you think of OneDrive as doing one thing, and that is it enables you to work from anywhere, whether I'm at home in the office, whether I'm in the office or I go home and want to continue working on a PowerPoint presentation, or I'm in the field and I want to take some pictures and upload them to my OneDrive, the key capability is work from anywhere. And that's the thing that we want you to really take away and fundamentally empower your employees and your organizations to also take on that capability. In addition to that, OneDrive is a secure place for your files. It's a compliant place, and increasingly over time, we're going to really focus on intelligence as a core theme and bring a number of features to market that leverage the Microsoft Graph, artificial intelligence, and make our experiences a lot smarter. I wanted to spend a little bit of time just talking about where OneDrive came from. How many people in the audience ever saw this screen? All right, so a fair number of you have been on this journey with us. This is a picture of the OneDrive at the time, Windows Live Folders landing screen. There's a couple of folks in the audience that worked on the product back when this was launched. You can blame them for anything you don't like about the product. But really, there are three core things we focused on that are still true today. Store files, put them in the cloud, share with people, share with anyone. Back in 2007, I wouldn't say that people really needed cloud storage. It was a very nascent time for this category of products, but the point here is we've been in this for a long time. So let's think back to 2007 when OneDrive launched. I always sort of think about time in two ways. What phone was I using in 2007? How old were my kids? And so this is what was happening in 2007. The iPhone was about to launch, and right there next to the iPhone is the Nokia N95, which was at the time one of the state-of-the-art smartphones, and we were all rocking the Edge network. Big upgrade from GPRS. Every once in a while you might see that little E icon on your phone, you get very sad. Even today when you see the LTE icon, sometimes it behaves like this guy. But the point is, smartphones were just really coming to market. And it's the device, the smartphone device, that really powered the file sync and share market to where it is today. This is the year that Windows Live Folders was named SkyDrive, a name that's sort of near and dear to our hearts. Through that period between 2007 and 2010, the big new capabilities that came onto the market were focusing on SkyDrive.com as a destination, but also the Office Online web apps launched. For the first time, enabling people to create and edit Office files for free on the internet. And OneDrive was a very key part of that capability and still is today. Moving forward to 2011, we sort of focused on doing a big reboot of SkyDrive and really focusing on it as a file sync and share product. This is also a time where Microsoft had a very fragmented consumer cloud story with Windows Live Mesh, SkyDrive, Windows Live Folders. And so we really focused on making SkyDrive the brand and the destination for this category of product in the consumer space. And that's when we launched our first iOS application. This was one of the first iOS applications that Microsoft launched at the time. We were in the Windows division, also built a fantastic Windows Phone 7 app. And one of the key capabilities of that application, which is a feature we all sort of take for granted today, is this notion of camera backup, so that all the pictures that I take for the rest of my life, always backed up in the cloud, and I can freely move between devices, replace my devices without losing any of the photos and memories that I have. Moving forward to 2012, that was probably the biggest year in the history of OneDrive. We launched the OneDrive Sync client, the SkyDrive API, the Android application, the Xbox application. We launched storage offerings so you can purchase additional storage. Really made this category something that could be with you everywhere, put your files in the cloud up to a terabyte, but we kept going. In 2013, the product you know of today is OneDrive for Business, back then was SkyDrive Pro. We also launched integration with Office 2013, so that by default, if you were an Office 2013 customer, any file you created, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, was saved to the cloud by default. And then later over the years, as Office shipped the mobile applications, this really enabled people to work from anywhere with Office files. We also did a really innovative integration with Windows 8.1, which made it possible for you to browse all of the files in SkyDrive without having to download them, without having to sync them. This is a feature that we talked a little bit about yesterday in Jeff's keynote and are really excited to bring to Windows 10. In 2014, we rebranded SkyDrive to OneDrive. And then in 2015 up through today at Ignite, we continue to focus on OneDrive being the unified experience across mobile, web, sync, desktop, Mac, and API, enabling everybody to store their files, collaborate on their files. Recently, we just announced the Sync client to really make it possible to browse SharePoint team sites as well. We did that work on mobile and web. We'll talk a bit about that more in a bit. And so here we are today, and the rest of this talk is really going to focus on the capabilities we're delivering in the market over the next couple months. We hope you are really thrilled about some of this work. Really briefly, talking a bit about the numbers, OneDrive has grown tremendously in the last almost 10 years. Today, we see about 10 billion new files every month. 150 million downloads of our mobile applications across Windows, Android, and iOS, and we ingest about 25 petabytes of data every single month. Now that's a staggering stat for me. When I started on the team back in 2010, the entire OneDrive service had 2 petabytes of data in it. And so you can imagine what it's like for the team to have to grow the service from something as small as that back then to something as large as it is today, ingesting multiple OneDrives in a given month. And honestly, this is just the beginning. I think part of what we'd like to get across to you today is while in the consumer space, people have sort of adopted clouds on their devices and use them to upload their photos and share files, in the business world, we're still seeing, as Kirk mentioned in his keynote yesterday, 80%+ of senior managers still storing their files in their personal storage. I think all of you in the room hopefully will walk away enthusiastic about deploying OneDrive to your companies, to your organizations, and providing the sort of secure, compliant, very capable service to power the business experience, the business scenarios, the organizational experiences with our business offering. Since the last time we met, last year in Chicago, there's been quite a lot of work the team has done. I just want to highlight some of that. In the sync category, we shipped the unified sync client across PC and Mac for OneDrive for Business. We recently announced and are shipping the new Activity Center, giving you confidence in what's happening on your device. We did some work with the Windows team on information protection, protecting your data so that if it gets on the device, it's not easy for that data to leak. Also some control features around pause, sync, and bandwidth control, as well as the recent announcement to support SharePoint team sites. In the mobile space, last year was a big year for Windows 10. We shipped the universal application that works across all Microsoft device experiences, from phone to Surface Hub to HoloLens and augmented reality. The Windows Universal App is sort of our platform for powering Microsoft device experiences. We also did some work to integrate with PDFs deeply so that you can annotate files and share those annotations. In addition to the data protection work in Windows, we partnered with the Intune team and the Azure Active Directory team to build really rich capabilities around data loss prevention, mobile device management, and mobile application management. We're also working very hard on making previewing files extremely fast, and I'll show some of that later. The Discover experience we highlighted yesterday lets you have files find you as opposed to searching for content in your company. Offline is a big part of our experiences on mobile, making it easy to get on an airplane and browse and access your files. Also SharePoint support on mobile. On web, we did many of the same things around unified experiences across personal and work, providing that simple, fast web experience to all of our individuals and organizations. We'll show off some of the instant preview work, as well as really enhancing the richness of photo and video support. We actually see quite a lot of photos and videos being uploaded, not just to our consumer products, but to our enterprise products, and we want to make that experience really delightful. I'm going to go deep into the sharing experiences in a bit and talk about how we're making sharing easier, as well as support for workflow-like scenarios where you start in your OneDrive and move content to a SharePoint site as part of making that discoverable, and then finally, simple access to all your SharePoint files in OneDrive. I'm going to hand it over to Ruben and talk to you about some of the core capabilities of OneDrive.
Great, thanks. So in terms of, I've been with the team for over 2 years now, and the last Ignite in Chicago in May last year, pretty much the number one word that came out of my mouth was sorry. So as far as sync's concerned, we really feel that the new sync client, certainly the telemetry we get back from usage is that the error rate is dramatically reduced. We've got rock solid sync. We're now running, in fact, our new sync client, the one we released earlier this year, now surpasses the usage for the legacy or the Groove client. So we've made a massive trajectory across PCs and Macs for both our consumer and business service, hundreds of millions of devices. We added things like selective sync, so the ability to go and pick the folders that you want to take offline. We've added bandwidth control, both for the user and for IT. So you'll see updates rolling out soon where IT can actually limit the percentage of available bandwidth for upload. So in the scenario around, hey, I want to migrate to a large number of users and we expect that they'll be dragging a lot of content into that sync folder, you'll actually be able to put in place a percentage threshold of available bandwidth. As far as going in depth, there's another couple of sessions on sync, so I encourage you to go and check that out around how to deploy it and so forth. Where we'll be, certainly when we go general availability on the update to the sync client that adds SharePoint sync and shared folder sync, we'll be the only sync solution, the only vendor in the market that allows you to select both your personal work files as well as your team files from SharePoint. So you'll have one single unified sync experience. We'll be very, very proud to ship that and get up and running for you. Just out of interest, how many folks are actually running the new sync client today? Fantastic. How many people with the advent of SharePoint Sync are going to start running the new Sync client? Terrific. So hopefully that covers everyone in the room, which is great news. We talk about true Office integration. So if we look at all of the experiences with Office and the most recently used list and the ability to share from within the app, the ability to access all of the, not only the files that I own, but also the files that have been shared with me directly from the Office application. We've got the activity history that's rolling out now. We're going to demonstrate all of this in just a minute. But that combined with the promise of co-authoring, the ability to have multiple people in the document at the same time working together. And there's some really cool integrations that we'll show you with Skype for Business and just generally making that Office experience the most productive that you can be. And all of those superpowers are lit up by storing your files on OneDrive and SharePoint. So that's another thing that you need to be aware of. And then notifications in terms of when people start editing the document and getting notifications about what they're actually doing within that document. Mobile productivity is another area. We're very, very proud of the high rating of the mobile activities across all of the marketplaces, and we continue to invest heavily there. But we're 4-star plus rated apps on all of those marketplaces. If I talk to you, certainly when I talked to you at Ignite, we didn't even have an Android experience for OneDrive for Business. So we've really moved fast and delivered a lot of great functionality. All the things that you would expect to be able to do on a mobile device in that context and with that screen real estate, you can now do. And we've also started to add things like better previewing, rich thumbnails. So we're getting that consistency of experience across browser, and across mobile. Another area that, again, we are a first-class citizen of the Microsoft Graph. So the ability, as you work with others, as you share files and work and update, and it starts to build a picture on who your regular co-workers are, and then builds a picture of the types of content that you may or may not be interested in, what's trending around you. It's a great way to go and discover content. I always like to use it when I'm, you know, when I need to start a project or I need to do a body of work. I know that someone somewhere in Microsoft has done a similar thing. So it's a great way to be able to discover that and look for content that might be relevant so I don't have to start from scratch on every single project. And then on top of that, we've got the whole people experience on understanding profiles and expertise and just connecting with people. As well as the analytics and insights that that delivers around how much time you're spending on emails and in meetings and so forth. And we're incorporating more and more of that in all of our experiences. And then obviously from an IT perspective, we can't produce and provide all of these great simple user experiences at the expense of you being able to secure and manage and govern the usage of OneDrive for Business, the types of content that you actually store on OneDrive for Business. And we get a lot of questions around, hey, you know, where should I be putting information? And we're doing a lot of work around making that that life cycle of a file, starting in OneDrive as an idea and an informal project, and moving through to Groups and SharePoint, where you can do more sophisticated team and more formal team collaboration. We're really making that journey much simpler. But we need to make sure that all of the IT security that's been built into SharePoint translates and applies to OneDrive for Business as well. So things like across the suite data loss prevention for you to be able to define what sensitive data is and then what actions that you want to take on different properties. So you might not want to allow people to store files on their OneDrive that have social security numbers in it. But if you've got a highly secured SharePoint site that you potentially IRM or RMS encrypt, then you're going to be okay and comfortable with that. But you've got the levers across the suite to be able to determine and decide that. We're integrated into Azure Active Directory, the directory service across Office 365, and you can federate that with your on-premise AD. As you'll see during the course of the demos, we're doing a lot of work around making the admin experience simpler and more efficient for OneDrive specifically. But generally, I think you've seen across the Office 365 admin experience, we've now got a much more modern, fast, responsive design that's easier to get to all of the things that you need to. And we'll give you a demonstration on some of that. And then from a developer framework, we've taken, first of all, we've applied the principles from our consumer service, and we now have a modern REST-based API across OneDrive. And we're already seeing lots of partnerships and solutions working with, integrating with OneDrive. Things like Adobe, things like Salesforce, all kinds of really important line of business apps are now taking advantage of our new developer story, and that's only going to get better. We've got extensibility at the client level. We've got deep platform SDKs, and in fact, across the suite, things like the Office 365 Management Activity API allows you to get at a stream of everything that's going on right across the service for you then to be able to do your own analytics or archiving of audit data, as well as use it to identify potentially malicious behavior and understand usage within the service. So what we're now going to do is spend the vast bulk of the time, rather than talking about this stuff, actually showing you right across the spectrum some of the things that are available today, some of the things that we're actually working on. And so to do that, I'm going to first of all hand over to Omar, that's going to start on the browser experience. Then we're going to go to sync, mobile, and admin. So you'll see the full gamut of everything that we provide across OneDrive. So I'll hand over to Omar and start on the web.
All right, thanks Ruben. So I'm starting off on the OneDrive website here in the files view. And at a sort of most basic level, OneDrive is about putting your files in a place. Those files are all private by default. And we provide really simple experiences that are familiar to users. We want to make sure that if you're familiar with how to manage files in File Explorer or Finder, that many of those same capabilities translate to the website. And so even things like common keyboard shortcuts, drag to select, you'll find that a lot of those things work. And so here you can see a list of my files, and I can scroll down and get to all of them, navigate around in folders. But there are many other views in OneDrive that I want to touch on. The first is the recent view. And what this does is provides you a very simple list of all the things that you've done in your OneDrive or files that you've accessed anywhere in Office 365. This list is not just a list that lives in OneDrive, though. It also shows up in all the Office experiences. And it provides a very nice way for you to start work in one place, but say I want to pick up my phone and launch PowerPoint. That presentation I'm working on my PC will be there on the recent list on my phone. And so the ability to just have this experience roam, which includes, by the way, your personal files in your personal OneDrive, but also your work files in your work OneDrive, assuming you've attached all those accounts to Office, really makes it simple to jump into an application and continue your work. But beyond your recent list, you may also want to see all the content shared to you. And so we have a shared list here. And the shared list is a list of all the files that have been shared to me by other people in my company. There's a number of features where you can, for example, select a file and remove it if you no longer want that in your shared list. But this list makes it a lot easier to get back to stuff rather than having to go to Outlook and hunt through that list of emails to find the thing that somebody might have shared with you. This experience is also an experience we'll show later on that we're bringing to the Office clients as well. We have a very capable search experience. And so I'm going to go ahead here and search for the word announce. And I know that I've seen that word before. And what we're doing here is using the Microsoft Graph to look for that word in the contents of your documents that are not just in your OneDrive, but also documents shared to you. And so if I know that I've seen a file, whether I own it or whether somebody shared it to me, I can go ahead and type that in and get a list of all those files. In this case, you can even see that one of the files is a PDF file. And so this ability to index and provide powerful search makes it possible to get back to things you're looking for. But search is just one of many ways to discover content. And so we worked to integrate this discover experience into OneDrive. And what you're seeing here is a list of people that I work with, powered by the Microsoft Graph, as well as documents that they're working on that I have access to. And so this sort of allows me to find and discover interesting content in my organization. And you can even see that in some cases, we highlight whether something is popular based on how many people are actively looking at this content. I personally find this is an interesting way for me to find out what my colleagues at Microsoft are working on and catch up, even use some, incorporate some of their content into the presentations and documents that I'm working on. I'm going to go back to the files view, and now I'm going to switch over to the tiles experience. I can also go ahead and change the sort order if I like, but I'm going to keep it in the original sort order. Now, what you may have noticed is what we show you in OneDrive has gotten a lot more interesting in terms of the kinds of files and content that we can preview. So in addition to Excel, Word, and PowerPoint, where we've had rich previews for a while, you'll also notice some new file types. In this case here, I've clicked on a PDF file. And what we've done is actually loaded that PDF file in the browser, allowing me to go ahead and search for content in the PDF, or even navigate around the PDF without ever leaving OneDrive. And so this idea that I can click around inside of OneDrive and access content and quickly see what it is, we think makes it possible for people to easily find and discover content. This next PDF here has a couple of annotations. These are actually annotations that I made earlier on my iPhone. Those annotations are saved back into OneDrive, making it possible for me to share those with other people in my company for them to see what I've done to the file. What you're looking at now is a Photoshop file. And so we worked to bring rich previews for many of the Adobe file formats into OneDrive. I don't actually have Photoshop installed on this device, whether it's desktop or not. And so this ability to preview stuff in the cloud without having applications installed, we think, makes it possible for people to also discover more interesting information and review content that people have shared. This next file here is Adobe Illustrator. This is a photo taken with a Canon digital, it's a Canon digital RAW file. And so in addition to JPEGs and PNGs, we also want to make it possible to preview files that cameras natively produce right out of the camera. It's a pretty nice photo, Ruben. In addition to that, email messages are files people save into their OneDrives, and so we want to make it possible for people to preview EML files as well as MSG files. And then last, video files are very popular in OneDrive, both in OneDrive as well as team sites. And so we did a bunch of innovative work here to produce dynamically streaming files. And so as soon as I upload something to a OneDrive and hit the play button, we're actually on the fly transcoding that into a format that's most suitable for the device that you're using. And so, sorry about that. In this case, you can see here, if I go down to the gear menu, we'll actually show you that this is a 720p file. We automatically choose the bit rate based on the available bandwidth. And so whether you're on a fast connection or a slow connection, we'll make sure that you can watch that video. Now, in addition to files that we build previewers for, we didn't want to stop there. We want to make it possible for developers to extend OneDrive and make it possible to preview other file types. And so what I'm going to show you here is a file that I have in my OneDrive that's a Markdown file. And now, it's not important for you to know what Markdown is. For those of you that do, Markdown is a very simple textual format where you can type in plain text and render that into other formats like HTML. And so what you're looking at here is some documentation that was written in Markdown and actually rendered in a preview experience, in this case as HTML. And so our team actually built this file previewer as an example. It's hosted in Azure. And by clicking that Markdown file, you can see that I have the ability here to open it. And by doing that, it will actually take me into an edit experience where I can go ahead and click the edit button. Any changes that I make in this Markdown editor will then get saved back to my OneDrive. And so we want to make it possible for developers to extend OneDrive, as I mentioned, as well as SharePoint, to make this notion of having previews and edit capabilities available to any third-party application. But we're not going to stop with just previews. I'm also going to show some other capabilities around third-party extensibility. And in this case, I'm going to show you we added an actions menu. In this case, this actions menu can be populated by the extensible third-party extensions. In this case, there are two of them that we have. And one of the extensible options here is Create PDF. And so I had selected a Word document a second ago. What that's going to do now is actually take that Word document and use the Adobe Document Cloud to convert that into a PDF file. Looks like it's taking a little bit of time. But I can also go ahead and select multiple files in my OneDrive. In this case, I have three files selected. And I can actually add them to a zip file. In this case, all those documents will be taken, put into a zip file, and saved back into my OneDrive. It's just an example of the kinds of things you can do. All right, so we covered a bunch of view experiences. What I want to do now is focus on sharing. We've gotten probably the most feedback on sharing in OneDrive, about it being too difficult and too hard and not capable enough. And so I hope to show you some experiences that will take care of a lot of those concerns. What I've done here is I've gone and selected a Word document, and I'm going to go ahead, and you'll notice that there are two commands in the toolbar, share a link and get a link. Through a bunch of research that we've done, looking at how people actually use the product, and even doing some experimentation, we've really narrowed down what we think are the two most common ways of sharing. The first one being getting a link, putting it on the clipboard, and pasting that into another application. Whether that is Yammer or Skype for Business, this notion that people want to get a link and put it in some other communications context is something we want to make really simple. And so I've gone ahead here and selected a Word document, and what you can see is that all I have to do if I want to get a link is press the button. We'll generate a link, and I can put that anywhere. And by default, you can see anyone with this link can edit this item, which means I can be rest assured that nobody will have trouble accessing this, regardless of what browser they're using or what device they're using. But that's not always the best option. In many cases, either companies or individuals want to restrict the kind of access that people have. And so over here, you can see there are two checkboxes. The first one says allow editing. So I can uncheck that, which will make this document read-only. But I can also set an expiration. Say I want to make this available to anybody, but I really just want to limit it to 7 days. After 7 days, I want to make sure that link isn't available anymore. I can go ahead and easily do that. But there's some additional options here that I want to highlight. By default, I mentioned that this document link will be available to anybody. But I may want to restrict access to that link to people just in my organization. And so what that means is if I got that link and I sent it to Ruben and Ruben posted it on Twitter, people on Twitter clicking that link would have to authenticate using Contoso credentials, and unless they had Contoso credentials, would not be able to access the document. But many times, you're sharing sensitive data, and you really want to just make sure it's locked down to a single individual. And so in this case, I can go ahead and say only specific people, and I go ahead and type anything I want on the to line, somebody in my directory, an email address, and I can get a link that's just permission to that one person. Or in this case, it could be many people. And so we think it's great that you can actually share an Office file in an editable form without having to put it in a folder and share that folder and do a lot of complex operations. This ability to share a file, we think, is key to unlocking collaboration. However, we sort of think about sharing folders as the bedrock of file sync and share. And in many ways, the category itself of these products is defined by folder sharing. Folder sharing is something email can't do. And so if you want to put a bunch of content in a folder and collaborate with a colleague, we need great folder sharing capabilities. And I want to show you some of that right now. So I'm going to select a folder here called Project Files. I'm going to do the exact same thing I did before, get a link. We actually added a feature based on some feedback from some of the IT folks at Microsoft where they actually wanted to make sure people were aware of how much content they were sharing. And so right here, we tell you that 11 files are in this folder, giving you that sense of how much information is going to be shared. But we also support many of the same options I shared earlier. And so these are brand new features that we're rolling out. This ability to share a folder with the same exact capabilities as a file. And so I can, in this case, share a folder where anyone can access it. So I can get a folder and put it on Twitter, and somebody can access that folder, something that is brand new and rolling out soon, as well as getting a link to a folder that is just limited to my organization. Previously in OneDrive, the only option we had for folders was actually putting individuals as folks that are accessing folders. And then lastly, I want to share a PowerPoint file and show you how external sharing works as well as group sharing. So I'm gonna go ahead and select this Snapchat filters PowerPoint. And so what I'm gonna do is I wanna produce a set of Snapchat filters for an event that we're doing in our company. I put together a PowerPoint presentation with some examples, and I'm gonna go ahead and share that with a number of people. In this case, I'm switching to the other option I mentioned earlier, which is share a link. It turns out email is the most popular way that people share files in OneDrive and SharePoint today, and so I'm gonna show you how that works. So by default, what you can see here is it says anyone with this link can edit this item. I'm actually gonna change that. I just want people on the two lines to have access. I'm gonna share it with my buddy Ruben over here. I'm going to add Contoso Marketing. In this case, Contoso Marketing is actually a group. And what you can see here is that we actually tell you how many people are in the group. It says there are about 26 people. That gives me the confidence of knowing exactly how broad of access I'm gonna provide. But I'm also gonna share with Clark Shields. In this case, Clark is a vendor. He happens to be an artist who's gonna help us work with these Snapchat filters, and he's also outside my organization. You can see here it says Clark Shields is outside your organization. Now, I wanna mention a couple things about this. What you're not seeing is the kind of control that IT has in this case, and Ruben will show a little bit of that later, but we give IT a lot of control with respect to what is allowed inside an organization. And in this case, I'm allowed to share with people outside my company, but IT can specify and limit the defaults that are available to me, and so whether they want to turn on or off certain capabilities, one new thing will be the ability to set defaults in addition to limiting options that I have. In this case, I'm allowed to share with Clark, so I'm gonna go ahead and do that. Now, Clark is outside my company, as I mentioned, and one of the things we recently added is an email notification that I'm gonna receive when Clark accesses that content. We think it's really important that people inside an organization sharing with people outside an organization know and understand when that content has been accessed. So when I go over here to Outlook, you can see that what I did earlier before getting up on stage was actually sign in as Clark and access that PowerPoint presentation. And we provide a number of interesting details about that kind of access. You can see here the name of the file that I accessed, when it was last modified. I can go in there and click open in PowerPoint just to quickly get in and see what that was. But I can also, with one click, remove access. I can also get additional detail about what Clark did on what device, just giving me that confidence that if I see something funny here, I can go ahead and remove access right away. And so you can see here when he accessed, what browser he used, and what operating system he used. So that's a quick overview of some of the new sharing features that we're gonna be bringing to market in the next couple weeks. I'm gonna switch over now and finish up with some new features in the OneDrive website before handing over to Ruben. So one really popular request we get from a lot of customers is this ability to download multiple files in OneDrive and SharePoint. And so what I've done is gone ahead and selected a whole bunch of files by clicking and dragging. But I can go ahead and select an individual file here, like this, these two right now, and you can see there's a download button. And when I click that button, you can see the browser prompted me to save OneDrive underscore .zip file. And that basically dynamically creates a zip file, letting me take a lot of those files and just download them to my PC. I can do this on content shared with me, content in my OneDrive, making it really easy to take stuff and do what I want with it. Another command we added to OneDrive, and Ruben briefly touched on, is this notion of life cycle. And so with applications like Office, the default create content in OneDrive, what I find myself doing all the time now is launching Word, writing a document, sharing that with a couple of people and doing some ad hoc collaboration. But when I'm done, what I really wanna do is put that file in a place that my team already has access. So I'm gonna hit copy to here. And you can see that here on the right-hand side is my OneDrive, and so I could save it to another folder in my OneDrive, obviously. But below that is a list of sites. And this sites list is powered by the Microsoft Graph based on how often I visit these sites. So I've been very active in the loyalty program site. I can go ahead here and click in and actually navigate multiple document libraries. In this case, I can select the documents folder and hit copy, and that file will be copied into the site. But it also makes that file discoverable, which is a great feature. And so just like earlier, and I showed the discovery experience in OneDrive, by putting content in places my team already has access to without sending them a proactive notification, they can become aware of things that I'm publishing out to the broader team. And then the last thing I'll end with, building on that theme, is this notion of making OneDrive the single files browser experience for Office 365. And so just like you saw a list of, list of sites when I was copying, you can see a list of sites here in the left-hand nav of OneDrive. I can go ahead and click into the loyalty program site I just showed you earlier, click into the documents folder. And just like you saw, all of the capabilities I showed you earlier in OneDrive, they work with SharePoint document libraries right inside the OneDrive website. I don't have to open up multiple tabs and navigate to multiple places. If all I'm doing is trying to get access to a single file, I can even go in and share a file, get a link to it, download it to my PC. And I'm going to hand it over to Ruben, who's going to talk to you a lot more about the kinds of things you can do with files in SharePoint.
Great. Thanks, Omar. So obviously, a fantastic browser experience. What we want to do is complement that with a world-class sync experience as well. And so this is the preview. How many folks have actually had a look at the instructions or set up the update to the sync client? All right, I want everyone to do it after this session. Really important. So what we're going to do is show you on the Mac, just because I'm allowed to demo Macs these days, is the ability, first of all, on the shared folder sync. So that is, Omar shared a folder with me. I want to be able to take that offline and be able to work with those files, contribute maybe files of my own in a very native, natural way within the Finder or the Windows Explorer experience, and just generally have those available to me. So Omar talked about the shared with me. So he's actually gone and shared a folder here, clothing sports line. So I'm going to go and select that or drill into that folder. And now I get that view, but now I have the opportunity to actually go and sync. So it's pretty straightforward. Just go and click that and sync that. And then I can actually choose the folders. So if there were subfolders in this, I could actually choose which ones. In this case, I'm actually just going to go ahead and start that sync. And then the other sync experience is obviously the SharePoint site. So for SharePoint Online, we recognize a lot of customers have that full spectrum of file collaboration. I'm going to go into my international sales. You'll see that I've actually got a range of subfolders here. If I wanted to, I could actually drill into an individual folder and just sync that. Or at the top, as I go ahead and sync that folder, it will allow me to go and choose the folders that I want to sync. So I could take everything and maybe APAC and EMEA. In this case, again, I'm just going to take all files and folders. So we'll go ahead and start that sync. So now what I can do from there is move across to the Finder experience. You'll actually see that it is syncing both of those. And if we have a look at the, first of all, the Omar Shaheen folder that he shared with me, I can go in there and there's the two files that have been brought down. I can also go in and let's have a look at that SharePoint site, and there's all of those files coming down as well, including the subfolders. So it's a really straightforward, simple experience. Rather than putting it all under multiple files under the OneDrive, we wanted to make sure we keep it distinct about the files that I own versus the files that have been shared with me or the files that our team owned. So we've added this top-level folder, which is just your tenant name, and then from there I can go in. There's a shared folder from Doug, the shared folder from Omar, and once I do that, I've got all of the experiences that I would expect in terms of being able to open the file, so on and so forth. So we're going to make that experience a bit richer. If we also have a look at the actual client itself, we've now got this activity center that Omar had talked about, so I can understand what's going on, and you'll see there's all of the documents and files that came from that international sales folder, and it gives me, first of all, it gives me a progress update as well as kind of a history, so I've got awareness in terms of what's going on. I can then go and choose to open the folder if I want, or I can actually go into the settings, and here's where I can actually go and pick. I can re-choose the folders or I can stop syncing that. And if we have a look at the network side, here's the, first of all, the user can go and set the rate that they want. But obviously IT can also have governance. So if IT determine the threshold around upload or download sync percentage, then it will honor those and not allow the user to adjust those as well. So everything that we do for the user, we also want to make sure that there is an IT switch to help out in terms of governance on those behaviors. So let's switch across to the PC. And again, same sort of experience there in terms of the activity center. There's all of my files that I've actually gone and shared. Same experience in terms of the Windows Explorer view, so I've got all the files and folders. Again, another key area around sync is I tailor this to the device that I'm on. So what that means is maybe my PC is my workhorse. I do the vast bulk of my, you know, office documents and expense reports and proposals and white papers and all that sort of stuff. So I want to be able to take a certain set of folders offline based on the purpose of the device and based on the capacity for that device. So we've got a different set of folders on both of those, and it's really simple for me to go and choose that. If I go into the settings area, I go into my OneDrive, choose the folders, and you'll see that I've selected certain folders there. So it's really great to be able to tailor that depending on what device I'm on. So that's the sync experience in a flyby. The other thing that we talk about is Office integration. And so I just wanted to give a rundown in terms of some of the things there that you can do. If I go and open up, in this case, PowerPoint, I've got, again, that most recently used list, the ability to pin the frequent documents that I want. If I go into the open experience, there's my most recently used list again. Follows me wherever I am on whatever devices. There's now the shared with me view. So not only do I have a view of everything that I own and everything that I'm working on currently, I also have a view of everything that's recently been shared with me. So instant access to the files that I'm most frequently working with, incredibly powerful. And these are things that are unique to OneDrive and SharePoint. So let's go into my recent Open This Tray Research white paper or presentation. There it is there, simple capabilities. I've then also got things like the ability to do one-click sharing. So I've got information around who I've actually already shared with, as well as the ability. So in this case, I've already shared with Omar. I could add in, let's say, Doug into that mix. And it also allows me to put a note, go ahead and share that. You'll also notice that anyone with an edit link, so I've actually generated a link for that previously that Omar took you through, and that's reflected in the sharing experience within the app. We also talk about the activity view. So I can see every single thing that's going on with this document at a glance directly within the Office app. So I know when Omar has edited the document, I can roll back to specific versions of that document. Very, very powerful. And again, I don't have to jump out of the app to do that. And then finally, one of the cool new things that we're shipping is integration in with Skype for Business. So this is, I can see currently that Omar is actually editing the document. Not only that, I can see specifically where in the document he's editing, so slide 5. And I can actually go to that slide, see what he's actually doing in real time. And the other thing that I can also do is I can, for individuals, trigger a chat. Or if there's multiple individuals in the document at any one point in time, I can trigger a group chat. So I can just have a chat to everyone saying, hey, we got to get this ready for publishing. Can you please finish your changes and get out? Or any other purpose to say, hey, Omar, can we discuss what you're doing on slide 5? So this experience is available, or it's rolling out very, very soon. But again, these are kind of, you know, superpowers that OneDrive and SharePoint combined with Office bring to the table and bring unrivaled productivity experiences for your users. So that's the sync experience, the Office integration experience. So what I'm going to do now is hand back to Omar to take you through the iOS mobile experience to take you through that.
All right. Thank you, Ruben. All right, great. So I'm going to start off by talking about a brand new feature that we announced yesterday, and that is notifications. And so you can see here, Douglas just shared Contoso product innovation with me. This is a notification of something that was shared. And we're really excited to bring our first notification out to market, and we think that this is a capability of having real-time notifications to your device that we'll just continue to build on over time with additional types of notifications. You can actually see there's been a number of notifications shared with me. This is great for when I just want to see that something's been shared and not have to go find an email. I can just tap on one of those notification bubbles and get launched right into the application. So I'm going to dive into OneDrive. And just like earlier, I'm going to just show you that we have all the same experiences that we have on the website. And so here I have a list of all my files. I can switch back and forth from the simple list view to the tiles view. I have my list of recent files. In this case, you can even see the document that I was just editing earlier on my Surface with Ruben. A list of sites, just like you saw on the website. This is the exact same list of sites powered by the Microsoft Graph based on frequency of usage, as well as sites that I explicitly follow. I can click in and browse, as well as a list of shared documents. And again, you can see that file that Ruben and I were working on at the very top since we were just editing it. But in addition to just letting you browse your files, the OneDrive mobile applications on all platforms provide you a single way to get to all of your content. And so you can see here I have my personal OneDrive account. This is where I store all my family photos and personal documents, as well as my work OneDrive. I might have an additional OneDrive, say, for a nonprofit organization. But having the application be that single place to browse all files, we think, is a core part of providing this capability to you in your whole life. The first thing you might notice about this view, beyond the fact that it provides some basic ways to get to things like your recycle bin as well as settings, is this new active files experience. So I'm going to go ahead and click got it. And immediately what you can see is a list of all the files that are in my OneDrive or uploaded to a team site that I'm working on. Now, I'm guessing a number of you are in the habit of sharing documents with other people, but you really have no idea what happens after you share. You don't know if that person got it or read it or how many people in your company are looking at content. We think there's a ton of opportunity in unlocking some of this information to sort of help you understand the scope of reach that you have, the number of people that look at your content, and how that trends over time. And so up here at the top, you can see the PowerPoint presentation I'm working on has 84 views, and it's gone up 325%. And I can go in and I can see exactly what's happened when. And so just today, 4 different people have viewed this file, and I've gotten 12 total views. But I can go back in time and actually click on and see what happened. I can tell you that once you have this feature, as I now have at work, I find that I'm launching the app all the time just to check and see what's happening. And I'm often surprised. And it sort of gives me the confidence that the product is working. If I share a file with one person and they look at it, a couple days later I can actually see that that happened and audit it. It also gives me a way of noticing any surprises. You know, a document that I had a year ago that's now trending, I might want to go and find out, did somebody put it on a site somewhere? Is it being shared? It's sort of a nice way to browse and understand how your work is being shared in a company. Going back to this list view, I want to show a couple of things. The first is this feature we just are building to show quick previews of documents. And so in this case, this is a PowerPoint presentation. And what you can see is I just tapped on it and it loaded right away. I didn't have to go into another application and wait for that thing to load. I can tap on the thumbnails view and see a list of all of the files in this presentation. I can even search over content inside the presentation. This will work for PowerPoint documents as well as Word documents. And we hope to bring that type of instant preview to all the file formats that we support in OneDrive. Over here in the Create menu, we also added a number of new features recently. So in addition to things like creating a folder or taking a photo and video or even uploading existing content in my phone, I can also now create a Word and PowerPoint presentation right inside the right place. And so I can navigate to any folder in a OneDrive or a site, and if I want to create a new file right there, it's a lot simpler to do that and launch PowerPoint and start authoring than it is to go into a PowerPoint app and then have to later on find the place to save that or find the location I want to save it in. We also provide a really simple sharing experience. And so right there, by selecting a file, I can go ahead and share. And you can see here, a lot of the common sharing experiences I showed earlier also work in OneDrive, including integration with the Outlook mobile application. And then finally, we make it possible for you to take a number of files offline. So I can go ahead here and select a number of files and mark them for offline. And then later on, what I can do is go back to the Me tab and have simple access to all the files that I previously marked offline. And this makes it possible for me when I'm in sort of spotty network conditions or on an airplane to easily access content that I have in my OneDrive. We're also planning on expanding this capability later in the year to support folders as well, which is one of our top feature requests. That's it for iOS. I'm going to hand it over to Ruben to show some capabilities on Android.
Okay. This is going to be the shortest Android demo ever. Let me see if I can come back to that. So just to close out, what I wanted to do was take you through some of the admin experiences. Just to close out on the Android piece, everything that you saw essentially on the iOS device, Android provides that capability. There's a new one, we'll actually show that in the next session once we fix it. The scan function that enables you to take some of the office lens experiences, take photos of content, it will then upload those into a PDF document into any folder that you want within OneDrive. But now we've added multi-page scans. So I can actually, I've got that multi-page expense receipt, or I've got a very large wide whiteboard from the course of a meeting, I'm able to actually go and take multiple photos, push that into one PDF, and upload that to OneDrive. And then from there, we've got the experience around annotation of PDF files and so on. And we'll show some of that in the next session. On the admin side, so like I said, I think we've shown from a simplicity perspective and a consistency perspective how you can do a lot of great things from an end user perspective with OneDrive, how that flows into SharePoint, and how you have a consistent Office integrated experience. But all of this is important to be able to be managed and governed from an IT perspective. And we're doing a ton of stuff. We had a lot of feedback that sort of said, well, look, I can, you know, I can do a lot of this stuff, but some of it I need PowerShell, some of it I need to go to, you know, SharePoint admin console. It's kind of split all over the place. And so what we've done is a lot of work around, let's consolidate, first of all, the auditing and reporting, where I can actually gain some idea on usage for the service. We've also working on a dedicated OneDrive admin console, and I'll show that in a second. And then thirdly, we want to make sure that user admin is able to be done as part of the Office 365 user admin experience. And that's what you're looking at here. So if I'm, this is the Office 365 admin console. If I go into users, now what I can do, let's drill into John Doe. And I've got all of the typical things, the ability to add licenses and manage their usage and so forth. But now we've actually got specific OneDrive settings, including the ability to access a user's file. We had a lot of feedback on the IT side that said, look, from a support perspective, how do I sort of get in there and help a user find that file? Or in the event that someone's leaving the organization, how do I get in there and make sure that those files are preserved or reparented or pushed somewhere that we have confidence that they're available? We can also see how much they're using from a quota perspective, and in future we'll add the ability for you to be able to set that quota on a per user basis. And on yesterday's keynote, Navjot demonstrated the ability to actually go and close all of the sessions. So if I'm concerned that a device has been lost or there's some kind of behavior, I can automatically log that user out from all of their sessions and enable them and make sure that they then have to go through an authentication process again. So that's one aspect on how I go and protect. And there's also other settings that you can do that we'll add in future releases. On the external sharing side, I can actually turn that permission on or off for a specific user. You can do that today, but you need PowerShell script in order to do that. So if you look at a lot of the things that you need PowerShell today, we're bringing that into a user experience, which is really, really important. So that's simplifying the per user. On the admin side, in terms of governance over the whole service, we're going to have a dedicated OneDrive admin console. Really, really important. One, to identify that it's got its own identity, but two, there's a lot of times where I want to do very specific administration on OneDrive for Business. So from the typical things that I want to govern, things like sharing. First of all, there's that kill switch of do I want to allow external sharing or not? And then from there, what I want to be able to do is govern the types of sharing that I can do. So maybe only existing external users. We're going to allow sharing with external users, both new and existing, but we want them to be authenticated. So they'll need to either be an Office 365 user or have a Microsoft account. We've streamlined that process a lot as well, as you'll see in the next session. Or anyone can get into OneDrive files with a link without being authenticated. And then what you can also do is you can say sharing OneDrive files with external users, you can go and default those behaviors as well. Another thing that you can actually do is you can set the default link type. So whenever a user does that get link or share link that Omar had talked about, you can actually default that to be, hey, look, I want them to have a named set of people that they're going to as the default. Or you can say, you know what, I want to default the type of link to anyone in my organization, barring external. So you can get very prescriptive. Not only can you say, look, I want to allow external guest shares, but you could say, I want that to be the default type of link, or you can mix and match depending on your requirements. We've also got that anonymous link expiration. Here's where you can govern the maximum length of time that link is expired. So you can say, you know, 90 days or a week or a year or what have you. And then the user can set anywhere up to that threshold, but not beyond. So these are the types of things that you can do to help protect your organization. And then some other stuff that we've added in recently is the ability to actually go and add an allow or a deny list of external domains that you want to allow sharing with. And that might be, hey, I only want people to be able to share with trusted vendors, or I want to block them from sharing with our direct competitors. So you're able to go and define those rules as well. And then you can also do a bunch of other things around what they can do. We're also bringing it to the security group level. So rather than having to do it at individual users, you can define security groups and mass assign that permission to everyone. I'm not going to go through everything in the admin console. On the storage side, a few things around the ability to go and set the default storage quota. And this is an important one. Data retention. The ability to say, you know what, I want to retain data for X amount of days, anywhere up to 10 years after a user account is deleted from Office 365. We had a lot of feedback that said, hey, I'm concerned that when a user leaves, what happens to those files? Well, you can preserve those for up to 10 years, and all sharing relationships remain in place, so the other people that were working on those files can use them, potentially download them, transfer them to SharePoint sites, and that in conjunction with the admin's ability to go and access a OneDrive files means that you can really feel confident about preservation of data when a user account is deleted. And then there's a bunch of user access that we'll get into again later on, and there's other sessions around how do I manage access, apply conditional access, and various other things around mobile application management about policies that need to be in place for specific devices to be able to access OneDrive for Business and SharePoint. So there's lots of great stuff coming in the admin, really tidying that up, adding new capabilities, integrating into our various other Intune and mobile application management capabilities. Lots of things that you can do around governance of OneDrive. So to close out, I'm going to hand back to Omar, and he's going to take you through the roadmap moving forward.
All right, thank you, Ruben. So we actually had a hard time cramming in all the new stuff we're doing into these slides. And in fact, you may probably have a hard time reading them. I'm going to have to get up closer here so I can even see all of this. So a lot of the stuff I talked about and Ruben talked about is rolling out as we speak. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here since we covered most of this work. But looking forward a bit, let's spend a little bit of time talking about that. So Q4 2016, we're going to GA the shared folder and SharePoint capabilities we showed for sync. We're also going to bring the new web experience to on-premises SharePoint. We are going to build the file activity view that I showed you on iOS for Android, continue to deliver external sharing notifications. We're working on bringing fast previews to Office files on the web experience, as well as redefine and reimagine our experience for large screen portable devices, such as on iPad and Android, as well as Surface Hub, and provide better IT control for resharing, which is a thing we get a lot of feedback on from IT. I'm going to show, before you guys head out, two new features that I didn't show earlier because they're a little bit in development, and I'm pretty excited about them. But one of them is Scan for iOS and the work we're doing to integrate Office Lens into the OneDrive app, and then offline support for Windows, which we also talked about earlier. Moving forward into H1, we're doing some exciting work with the Office team to bring support for at mentions and notifications to Office documents. And so when you're collaborating inside of an Office file, powering rich real-time notification experiences there. Microsoft Flow integration, access for SharePoint on-prem, file activity experience for Windows, Microsoft Graph Discover-based experiences on iOS, as well as better support for defining what shows up in your Shared With Me experience, and so beyond just removing things from that list, as well as Move support. We showed Copy, also bringing the full capability around Move between OneDrive and SharePoint across all endpoints, including mobile, as well as offline folders I briefly mentioned. And then the IT world, removal of blocked characters. This will be the last piece of work we do to finally make all files and all file characters work and sync across OneDrive and SharePoint. RMS integration between Office 2016 on the Mac and OneDrive, increasing the length of paths that the OneDrive sync engine supports, as well as bring AAD conditional access so that if you're managing conditional access policies through Azure Active Directory, those also work on the Mac, and then improved external sharing reports. So the few minutes remaining, I'm going to demo two features on iOS that are very hot off the presses. First, how many folks in the room take pictures with their phones of receipts and business cards and documents? It's pretty good. It's about more than half the people. I do this all the time, especially when I'm on business trips. I don't like carrying around bits and pieces of paper that I have to then go and upload into an expense tool. And so what I have here is, switch me over to the OneDrive app, we have the scan command. And we actually want to make it really simple to capture content in OneDrive. And so what I'm going to do first is select my receipts folder. I don't want to have to use another app and then figure out where it went and then manage that content later. I'm just going to go straight to my receipts folder and scan a file. And so by hitting this plus button and going into scan, you can see here I have a receipt. And you can see that the Office Lens, in this case, which is integrated into the OneDrive app, already found the receipt. And I can hit OK. It's going to process that. We do a lot of really neat things around OCRing content, making it possible to find and index that information. But in this case, it's being uploaded. And there you can see it showed up in my OneDrive. And there's the receipt all cleaned up and ready for me to submit into an expense report. This will work on documents, business cards, whiteboards. And so this notion of making the OneDrive app on all platforms a really simple way to capture whatever it is you're looking at. You know, many years ago, we started with basic photos, but we think we have a lot to offer in terms of all the things you might capture in your business life and your personal life. and you can see other things that I've captured earlier. In this case, this is a whiteboard in my office, and you can see how we cleaned it up and made it really easy to look at, as well as some other PDF receipts and so on. Earlier when I demoed the share experience in the OneDrive app, I mentioned that we integrate with applications installed on iOS. It turns out that email and iMessage are the two most popular share targets on iOS. And if you're using iOS 10, you may be familiar with some of the work that Apple has done to make applications a part of the messaging experience. And so if I go in here to iMessage, you can go ahead and tap the little application button. And what iOS will do is provide you with a gallery of applications that you can download and install on your phone, providing a number of really interesting features. In this case, we've actually built a OneDrive extension. And what we want to do is make it possible to share directly in the place that you're talking to people. And so in this case, I'm talking to one of my colleagues over iMessage already, and I want to share something in OneDrive without having to launch another application and go find the file and go through all that process. So I'm going to go ahead here, and you can see I'm in OneDrive. I can scroll around, and in this case, I'm going to select, see if this works. And so you can see here, I actually got a rich preview of that Excel presentation right inside of iMessage. I didn't have to go to my OneDrive app and figure out what file I was looking for. I can go ahead and send that. And what will happen here in this case is the recipient will get a preview on their end where they can press and hold and actually go in and view the content without needing to go and install the OneDrive application. This works great for PowerPoint presentations too, where I can go ahead and see all the content that's in the PowerPoint presentation. I can even expand it so I can get a richer, more immersive view of that presentation. And I can go ahead and share that as well. So this feature will be coming out a little bit later than some of the other ones I mentioned. We think it's going to be an awesome way for people to share directly in the place that they're already doing their collaboration and conversations. And that's it for that demo. We're going to hand it over to Ruben to close us out.
Great. So in the last 3 minutes, let's close out with, first of all, plenty more content on OneDrive at Ignite. So you'll see there's lots of sessions. Doug and I have a session in the same room after this where we'll put all of this in practice in an end-to-end scenario. The sync in terms of understanding how it works, getting to the tech stack, how you actually roll it out to large constituencies of users. There's plenty of coverage across that. Plenty around the mobile options, not only the application functionality, but how to manage those. So there's lots and lots of capabilities and new skills and new information that we've got to deliver to you this week. A couple of other things, reminder around Fast Track. So if you are looking around getting this deployed to large groups of users, Fast Track is available to help that get you onboarded and get people using the service. Join the Microsoft Tech community, lots of ways to exchange ideas and get further information. Techcommunity.microsoft.com, great way to work with peers and get other information from our MVPs and Microsoft professionals as well. Finally, please give us your evaluation. We take it very, very seriously. We want to make sure that we tailor these sessions to meet your needs. But hopefully, what you've conveyed today, or what we've conveyed today, is that OneDrive has matured. OneDrive is massively valuable for organizations, very important in terms of how people work. And with that, thank you very much for your time. We'll be here after for any questions. Thank you.